Blog Talk Radio.
1, 2, 3.
Welcome to Twisted Tuesdays with the Twisted Sisters, and you never know, maybe a Twisted Mister or two. I hope everyone is having a good week so far and has an even better one to come. And hello, Naomi. How goes it?
Hello, Pam. Oh, it's going pretty good. Yeah?
Wonderful. Good. I'm glad to hear that. Yeah, we've got a great lineup of poetry tonight.
Yeah, we do. Oh, yeah, that's just amazing. Yeah.
Yep.
We had a great one last week, and you know, it's just going to continue into this week. It's just those carryovers, my gracious, you know, that was just an amazing contest that you had put up there with those scribbles there and that artist. And, tell us about tonight, Pam.
Well, tonight is, as you were mentioning, is carryovers from the scribbles contest, which featured artwork, and I can't remember the name of the artist, but let me check here. I will have to take a look. The artist was Liz Y. Ahmet, and then various quotes on scribbles. And then because and then because we didn't have quite enough carryovers for a full show. I ran like a 12 spots only contest, and that will be our second topic. And that was simply one quote and picture that I had found, which was a picture of somebody's hand reaching out and a bird, like a sparrow, landing on it. And the quote said, "Live for the moments you can't put into words." And I just wanted to see what people would get from that, using either just the quote, just the picture, or a combination of both. And like I said, it's just been an amazing turnout, and I'm really looking forward to tonight's show. And we do have a couple of callers that I'm going to go ahead and bring on. First, I'd like to welcome Zach to the show. Welcome, Zach. Glad you could join us.
Hi, hello.
Hi, Zach. Welcome.
Hi. Good to be here.
Good to have you. And I'd also like to welcome Randy to the show. Welcome, Randy. Glad you could join us.
Hello, glad to be here. Glad to be here with you guys.
Yeah, well, I'm glad we saved your poem as one of the carryovers so that you could call in and read it for us.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely, no problem. And I know you usually stay about a half hour, so we can go ahead whenever Naomi's ready and get your poem up.
Okay.
That'll be perfect. Oh, silence. Are you waiting for me?
Uh-oh. I guess one of us should be singing. I'm posting links. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. You know what? I forgot it was Tuesday. For some reason, my mind's going, it's Wednesday. Naomi's going to be posting links.
Twilight Zone.
I
apologize. Well, let me go ahead and go grab your poem there, Randy. And then after this, I promise I'll be slightly more organized. All right. Oh, my goodness gracious. Okay, Randy, I've gone ahead and put your poem up, and go ahead and give it a read for us, please.
Okay. Yes, I used prompt number 16, a scribble isn't a scribble, as the prompt, okay? And this just came to mind when I saw the topic. Pardon me. Bobby always loved to scribble with that explanation on paper. On himself, he had an active imagination. Living in the country, he had to act out his own dream, and this he continued right up till he turned 18. Then drafted, wet behind the ears, fresh off the farm, returned from war with mom tattooed on one arm to remind him of his home filled with mother's love. On the other arm, a declaration, death from above. A spread-winged American eagle covers his chest. A provocative girl poses on one leg, barely dressed. Spells on the fingers of each hand, love and hate. While across his back, a map of the United States. War had obviously changed his appreciation of art. Drawings became statements from mind and heart. Very sophisticated scribbles, permanent and in ink. Words. Pictures or murals, works of art, and unique in poem.
Great read there, Randy, and an excellent write. I'm really glad you were inspired. And Naomi, let's start with your thoughts.
Yeah, this is absolutely amazing, Randy. You know, you get all the story of, you know, not only the art, the tattoos, but, you know, the story of, you know, a little boy who, young boy who went off to war, and, you know, and how war is changing him, you know, and, you know, the mom, you know, that he gets tattooed on one arm, reminding him of his home. And then, you know, as he gets into probably sees more deaths around him, death from above gets tattooed. And then, you know, the United States and love and hate. And so you see the evolution of this young man also, you know, throughout the artwork. And it's very touching in a way, this poem. Anyway, it touched me. Very well written. Beautifully done, Randy.
Thank you, Naomi.
Absolutely. Great comment, Naomi. And Zach, your thoughts?
I loved how it starts out. Bobby always loved to scribble. You think about like a kid just, you know, with a pencil, just kind of doing his own thing. And then before you know it, he's whisked off to war, and he changes his appreciation of art. That line especially hit me. It just a little bit more rough around the edges afterwards, so to speak. With tattoos scribbled up and down the arms, it's a sign of pride and patriotism and devotion, just like the side of the country on one side and the mom on the other. Loved it.
Thank you.
Very cool. Absolutely. Great comment. So now, Randy, is that a picture of your arm, of your tattoo?
It is not. I have a few, but that's not one of them.
Okay. Yeah, I wasn't sure. Huh. Very cool. I never got as many as I wanted to, which was probably a good thing, because the tattoos that you choose at 18 sure would be different than the tattoos you choose later in life. But yeah, I really like the approach that you took with this, because going, you know, tattoos are a wonderful form of art and self-expression. And oftentimes the ones we choose are a reflection of what we're going through in the moment, that part of our life. And, you know, it's like there's a real, like Naomi was saying, a progression in this. You know, you take us through the evolution of this young, innocent child, and then who becomes 18, you know, declares his love for his mother. On the other arm, a declaration, death from above, a spread-winged American eagle covers his chest, a provocative girl poses on one leg, barely dressed. I mean, you see with each tattoo that he gets an expression of himself, his inner thoughts, his torments, you know, everything that he's been through, everything he loves and is proud of. And so I thought this was a really wonderful take on the chosen prompt. As always, great rhyme and flow. And you really bring out the individuality of this character and pay a great tribute, to the artistry of tattoos. So excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam.
Absolutely. I'm glad you were inspired. And let's see what we have next. Up next, we have Alabaster Inkwell by Eric Svensson. And we do have a SoundCloud for that. So let me find that. Here we go.
Alabaster Inkwell, dabbed nibble dribbles, inky winky spider scribbles, cursive whip crack snake through thin air, creepy crawly crescendo of lyrical cynicism, fiddlesticks collapse, give up the ghost in search of finders keepers, bumpers, bloomers, and beepers. Soapbox oxymorons crude, fairground organ grinds, hot air windpipes rejig percursive persuasion, nickels, dimes, and bitcoin bites, faux pas praises churned out by monkey minds, jittery seahorse head movement jinxes, staccato sentences parole, virtuosity of virtues extolled, good sir, flattery gets you everywhere, doesn't it? Kind lady, bell the ball. Oh, riddled, ribald pride, precursor to posh petit mort falls. Alabaster inkwell, compelling black hole, who shall thee vanquish next? Nabbed, nibbled, nitpicks, opinions, opiates, and oxymorons, cursive whipcracks slake their thirst, replete in uncompletedness, slanted seahorse head askew, until the next TikTok video imposes. End poem.
Great read and write, Eric. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. Just a reminder, everyone, if you're unable to call in, the next best thing is to make a recording of your poem, because then we get to hear your poetry in your voice. And Eric wrote to the quote, "You who scribble yet hate all who write, and with faint praise one another damn," by William Wycherly. And Randy, your thoughts on Eric's write?
I love Eric's stuff. I would I'd call in just to hear him, you know, read the phone book or something. Listening to him read his poems is it's always a kick to listen to him. I love the sound of his voice, the way he emphasizes the words that he has written makes it all the more special. So even though there are times when in his work I don't fully understand where it's going, he has deeper thoughts than I'm able to dig out sometimes, but I appreciate it nonetheless because I enjoy the ride and the trip along with him as he's reading. And I like the staccato sentences, parole, ferocity of virtues, extol, good sir, flattery gets you everywhere, doesn't it? And then alabaster inkwell, compelling black hole, who shall they vanquish next? I mean, each one of these stanzas stand alone in their uniqueness, and in the way they're written and the way he reads them make them compelling. And I always enjoy listening to his stuff.
I have to agree. And, you know, I know there's plenty of poets out there that I don't always understand everything they're saying, but there's there's a joy in admiring their beautiful and use of language. So wonderful.
Exactly.
Comment. And Zach, your thoughts?
I loved how it was a scribble, yet it was a very elegant scribble. I sensed like spider strands of ink kind of falling around the page. And it seemed claustrophobic with the flea market nooks and crannies and the numerous little knickknacks and the cash register imagery. Ollie brought me to like a steampunk vibe, and all the scenery just I realized didn't come cheap. And as well as it just brought to mind like a lot of things that cost money, and there's like short attention spans, and that's like a slippery slope until the next TikTok video. And I loved especially the observational tone and the numerous observations too. Just very well done.
Yeah, I like that. Great observation on picking up on the steampunk vibe, or at least I hadn't seen that before myself, but sometimes when somebody makes a comment, you suddenly see things different and go, oh yeah, that makes sense. So very cool. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Now, first off, like Randy said, you have to applaud Eric with his writing, his unique style, his alliteration, and the way he just has this ability to throw words together. Like if you just take that first stanza, like right away, like dabbled, nibbled, dribbles, inky, winky, spider, scribbles, cursive, whip, crack, smack, snake through thin air. It's just amazing the way he puts words together. I got the impression that, there's a lot of scribbling going along, like a cursive whip crack snake through thin air. So that is, it's writing going on. But then there's a lot of mentions of a void and death even. The cursor to Posh, Pitchett Mall, falls, little death falls. Well, the little death can mean something else, but I think in this case it is. it's death. And, we shall vanquish the, compelling black hole. Everything is synced into the black hole. Opinions, everything, is lost, like in oxymorons or, again, that cursive whip crack, slack, or thirst until the next TikTok video imposes at the end. So I think, maybe the death of writing and scribbling too is getting lost because, young people now, they're always on their phones and they're always on TikTok. They're always making videos. I know my granddaughter, 14, is, oh my gracious, like she makes like 50 videos a day. And that poetry writing, that writing is getting lost at some point. So I was wondering if maybe that would be, where this poem is leaning. I could be totally wrong, but that's what I got out of it.
I like that. I like that. Very cool. Some great, great stuff and great ideas that you got out of it. Before I comment, I'd like to welcome Jody to the show. Welcome, Jody. Glad you could join us.
Hey, Pam. How's everybody doing tonight?
Doing great. Yourself?
I'm good, good. I was just listening to that last poem. That's pretty entertaining.
It was, wasn't it? It was, yeah. Would you like to say anything? Would like to make more of a comment on that?
Yeah, sure. I always enjoy listening to his poetry, especially when he does SoundCloud. I don't know if I could ever really do justice to reading one of his poems, but he's like he goes on a ballroom dance with his words, Just such a whimsical imagery that he paints and very playful use of language. And his poems always go on some kind of unexpected twist, creates a vivid experience for the readers and keeps you engaged from start to finish. So it's definitely another one that did just that for me. I thought it was very well done.
Oh, absolutely.
I wouldn't want him to be lecturing me. Because I wouldn't know whether to smile or to just keep a straight face. I can imagine how he would look
at him. Oh, my God. I think with Eric, you have to do a little bit of both.
He always has such wonderfully clever wordplay. I like how a lot of this seems to speak on the history of the upper crust and, you know, the judgment passed along when it comes to changes in grammar and writing. And, you know, I did also like those lines, staccato sentences, parole, veracity of virtue is extolled. Good sir, flattery gets you everywhere, doesn't it? Kind lady, belle the ball, old riddled, ribald pride, precursor to posh, petite mort falls. You know, just really clever lines throughout. And I did like how he brings in until the next TikTok video imposes. The part that I really connected with, though, was cursive whip cracks, slake thirst. You know, I remember back in third grade and when we started learning cursive, oh my goodness, this teacher I had, I always had such problems. I've never had good eye-hand coordination and I had such problems learning cursive. And she would stand up in front of the class and she would say, Pam, and I don't know who else doesn't know how to write cursive. And it was every single freaking time. It was like there was never Pam in this person or, you know, switch up the names a bit. It was always Pam and I don't know who else. Oh, my God. But, yeah. Those whips get cracked, that's for sure. But, yeah, we have, you know, and to me what I feel like this reminds us of, even though it might not be directly said, is we all have our individual ways of expressing ourselves. And so, therefore, we shouldn't be passing judgment along. So, amazing write and very well done. And up next we have What a Maroon by Arliss D. And Zach, would you give that a read for us, please?
Sure. What a maroon. The label wasn't able to identify him as a man. He started as a suave, sophisticated Olympian that devolved into a heap of generalities, a moral ingenious, a Greek maroon. Hera heckled and cuckolded him, but this gentleman preferred swans or posing as a big black bull for Europa. Only a king would boast of being so well hung. One night, as I tracked him through Athens, he howled at me. Never a fan of thunderbolts. I laughed at him off key. Here was supreme humiliation, abdication his only way out. He could fall on his metaphorical sword. Oh, to be immortal means you to be stuck here for millennia without a phone. Zeus waves his hand and the cosmos shrinks to a rubber ball. He picks it up and throws it my way. It has enough heat to barbecue my hand. Why do I feel as if I've been flim-flammed? I'd like a night out with Athena, but he would only fashion a bolt to the side of my head and howl, and so I scribble. End poem.
Great read, Zach, and what a wonderful write by Arliss D. And Jody, your thoughts?
Yeah, I like that. That was pretty complex, you know, using immortality, like the Greek mythology with the modern humor into it. It was a very captivating narrative he put together. Obviously had vivid imagery, and that's like the whole tone of it. I thought that was very well done.
It was, absolutely. Great comment. And Randy, your thoughts?
Yeah, I feel pretty much the same way. I'm not really an expert on Greek mythology, but I understood where he was going with it, and it was written in a way that even I could follow. So I like that aspect of it. And I thought it was pretty interesting, and it flowed very well. And like I said, even though I'm not up on that stuff, it was still done in a way that I could follow and enjoy. So I liked it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Great comment. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, you know, I was just wondering about, you know, I really liked this, you know. It was captivating. It brought me in into the, like the others said, into Greek mythology. And, you know, at the end there, that last stanza with Zeus, you know, waves his hand and the cosmos shrinks to a rubber ball. And then he picks it up and throws it my way. So he's kind of giving him like the, you know, the I don't know, the ability or the world to write. I don't know, but, well, you know, I have a lot of questions because, you know, coming from Quebec, the Warner Brothers and Bugs Bunny wasn't really, you know, part of my growing up. So what a maroon. I guess that's Bugs Bunny for what a moron or something.
Yeah. Yeah, like whenever he used to trick Elmer Fudd or Daffy Duck, he would go, "What a maroon!" You know, he would say it in his Brooklyn or Bronx accent that Bugs Bunny has.
Because I was reading the comments, you know, down, and you know, I guess. But, you know, from this poem, I bet our list had a real, real fun writing this poem. I'm pretty sure he did. You know, I'm pretty sure he really, really had fun. So great, great write.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I have to agree. Wonderful comment. And yes, it does seem like he had a lot of fun writing this poem. And I did enjoy, because Bugs Bunny, you know, and Warner Brothers cartoons were a big part of my childhood. So, you know, I did enjoy the reference to Bugs Bunny, and the title was quite entertaining. The whole write was entertaining. I always appreciate writes about, you know, mythology, but it actually brought back images of a specific Bugs Bunny cartoon where he dressed up like an opera singer to disguise himself, to hide from the, you know, Elmer Fudd the Hunter. So, you know, that part, even though I don't know if, you know, our list meant for us to have that imagery in our head, you know, that, just thinking about that really made me smile. And I thought there was a nice, dry sense of humor in this. Never a big fan of Thunderbolts. I laughed at him off-key. Here was supreme humiliation, abdication, his only way out. Could he fall on his metaphorical sword? Oh, to be immortal means you're stuck here for millennia without a phone. That actually kind of makes me think of an episode of the Twilight Zone, where this guy finally gets the alone time that he wants because everybody else in the world is gone, and he's like at a broken down library. I don't know if anybody ever saw this episode, but he's like surrounded by all these books, and he has this time to himself, you know, to finally be able to read, and his glasses break. I just, you know, yeah, it kind of made me think of that whole scenario. But quite a clever write and very well done. And
great episode.
Oh, is it?
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
The glass is breaking in the nuclear war. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And the another really creepy one was, there was something to do with mannequins. That was particularly creepy. yeah. I've always wanted to do a dark show on mannequins. Or the woman who wakes up and the doctor, like, with a new face, and she's absolutely terrified. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Twilight Zone is awesome. But now I apologize, Zach. Did I get your thoughts on this poem?
Oh, I have a few quick ones. I got the sense
Are we
that.
I can't remember.
Oh, no.
Because I had you read it. Not yet. Okay, right. Well, then your thoughts.
Okay. So I got the sense that the speaker wanted to be immortal among gods, and unfortunately for him, he's rejected by the Pantheon and is forced to write about it. What a maroon.
I like that. I like that. That does make for a really good storyline. Very cool. Very cool. And I'm sorry. Did I get everyone else? I believe I did. And I know Randy had to go. So thank you, Randy. Have a good night. We appreciate you. And and I'd like to welcome Ed to the show. So welcome, Ed. Glad you could be here.
Happy to be here. Hi,
welcome,
everyone.
Welcome, Ed.
How are we going, Ed?
Good, good. I could only stay to read my poem. I've been working on some books today, and I'm pretty exhausted.
Oh, I get that. You know, real life happens. All right.
Yeah.
So I put up your poem, Emotional Distress. Go ahead and give that a read for us, please.
Okay. Emotional Distress. A journey into wondrous imagination promise is a burial ground for hopes. Like a wounded bird, this is where she landed, a question mark with broken lines. Piece it together. There are reasons. Think about it rationally, and you may learn. You may understand the reality of the human heart. What you do unto them, you will receive unto you. These secrets lie in the color of pain. Until life grabs your heart with dismay. Spring out of the sand like a bunch of jumping gnats and stand there before yourself. What do I see? A mirage, an illusion, or a conclusion? You don't have to hide anymore. It's out in the open, like a deep pit inside your stomach, spilling nerves into a thousand thoughts. You were victimized in the art of deception. But with this knowledge, you have spread your poison to others to burn as you. End poem.
Great read there, Ed. Wonderful right. And Jody, let's start with your thoughts.
Yeah, I thought it was a very well written piece on self-discovery, deception, lingering impact of a personal experience, how it interacts with others, and great imagery. I like the wounded bird and the plea to piece together the reasons, creates a reflection on the complexities of the human heart. I thought that was very nicely done. Has a lot of emotions and, broken dreams and the consequences of people's actions. Overall, very good job, Ed.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. The complexity of the human heart. I like that. Very cool observation. And Zach?
It just brought to mind, the heart as a burial ground for hopes and dreams, and especially with a dead and broken question mark body. Wow. I got the sense of intentional wounding of one another, like a primal conflict, and doing it unto others as they do to you, and ending in a broken sort of relationship and wishing poison upon that person too. It sounds like they deserve it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
I feel that.
Yeah,
for sure. It is definitely one of those poems you can deeply feel. Great comment, Zach. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, it is, a very, very powerful poem, very emotional poem. you know, that you feel, and you feel the pain inside of the poem. It's like you know, inner turmoil going on. I liked the part, you know, I liked it all the way through. Like a wounded bird, this is where she landed, a question mark with broken lines. I really liked that, you know, that she landed a question mark with broken lines. That's, you know, an awesome, you know, like awesome metaphor, awesome imagery there, and, you know, very witty, a very intelligent line there. And I think, you know, you have all the question mark with broken lines. You have that inside of the poem. You know, you have all those thoughts, those emotions, though, that pain, that hurt that's going on, love even that's not, you know, that's all mixed up, you know, that scribbles, like the theme of the contest was scribbles. So you have all this emotional distress that's all like scribbled up inside, you know, causing an inner turmoil and suffering. That's what I got out of it. Wonderfully done, Ed. Wonderful.
Thanks, Ed. Naomi. Thanks, Naomi.
Welcome.
Absolutely. Great comment, Naomi. Yeah, I really like this. Powerful and emotive lines. I like how it speaks on to me on the idea of karma and the idea that once trust is broken, it can never be put back together the same. I really like piece it together. There are reasons. Think about it rationally and you may learn, you may understand the reality of a human heart. And then what do you see? A mirage, an illusion, or a conclusion? You don't have to hide anymore. It's out in the open, like a deep pit inside your stomach, spilling nerves into a thousand thoughts. You are victimized in the art of deception. I think one of the first steps in healing is really just admitting, you know, and to yourself that, yes, you were a victim, and yes, what happened did hurt you. And then you can begin that healing process. So amazing, right, Ed, and very well done. And thank you for calling in to read it.
Sure. I saw you guys were up, and I was up, so I said, oh, well, I'll call. So,
very
cool. I appreciate
cool.
you having me. So thank you very much.
Thank
All
you.
All right.
Okay.
Have a good night, Ed.
Okay. Good night, everyone.
Bye.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
All right. Up next, we have I Think I Know By Now by Timothy Hlodek. And Jody, would you go ahead, please, and give that a read for us?
Sure. All right. I think I know by now. If you were never in my life, there would be no shadow. When you whispered into my ear, I was sure it was warm summer breeze. We went to the art museum. I saw your body, never told you, and loved the smell of car exhaust. That reminds me of our lover's pit stops when it was cold. I gave up radio. We adored the same song, but that was about all. Of things I passed on was the grocery. Every time I looked in the meat department, I saw my shrink-wrapped heart. And boom.
Great read, Jody, and what a wonderful write by Timothy Hlodek. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, you know, the wonderful poem, you know, that, you know, sounds so authentic and, you know, just so raw and so real, you know, just as if it, you know, just happened. You know, if you were never in my life, there would be no shadow when you whispered into my ear. I was sure it was more warm summer breeze. You know, it's just that we went to the art museum. You know, it's just like these things happen, really happen. And, you know, I don't wonder about that. But it sounds so authentic as if, you know, this he's just writing about real life situations here. And that was that's what makes the poem just so amazing. And, you know, the last line, every time I look in the meat department, I saw my shrink-wrapped tart. Oh, yeah. Yeah, so we probably went, you know, to grocery shopping a lot with this person, and maybe something, maybe they broke up in the meat department. I don't know, but, you know.
Well, I think people have broken up in stranger places.
But, you know, it's just, yeah, it just, you know, I love the flow of it, you know, then the authentic, like I said, the authentic feeling of the whole piece.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Great comment. And Zach, your thoughts?
I got a sense of wishing that the shadow were like sunshine and breeze. So wishing for a better time, sort of like a wistful sense of regret permeating throughout the piece. And fortunately, I got the sense that these folks didn't have a lot in common. There was only one thing, I think, and that was the radio song. And so I thought it was poignant that when this person passes the meat department, that one spot, I guess they probably met there or something like that, and maybe have a sweet memory there. And it's kind of like you could feel that, you know, the passing of the memory. Sad.
Yeah, I could see that, actually. Yeah, because it would be like kind of like any place that you either met or, you know, went together would suddenly become somewhere where you wanted to avoid. So great observations. And Jody, you did a great read of that. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought it definitely was a bittersweet memory of the past love, you know. I don't know if I'd want to not go by the meat department anymore, but I thought that was an awesome metaphor, you know, with the shrink-wrapped heart. You know, it gave a sense of vulnerability and detachment from the past love that he had. A vivid picture of, you know, the poem writer's emotional journey through that relationship.
It really is. Yeah, yeah, it really is. Very cool comment. Yeah, I really liked this. The use of imagery was great. I like how the poem is relatable because of the fact that he uses everyday imagery, you know, like going to the grocery store. Wonderful opening lines. If you were never in my life, there would be no shadow. And those are lines, as Zach was saying, you know, there's kind of a feeling of regret within the poem. I have to say that my favorite part that really stood out to me, and there was some wonderful lines all the way through, but was I gave up radio. We adored the same song, but that was about all. You know, and because there's such a connection with music, and there, it oftentimes seems like couples will have their song. You know, I would never give up completely music or radio for somebody because I like it too much, but I have, you know, had my heart broken enough that there are certain songs I either still won't listen to or haven't listened to for a very long, you know what I mean? Like, I can't listen to as much as I used to because they connect you with a certain person. So I can relate to that. And I think this is just a wonderful write and very well done. And hello, fill my eyes. It's good to see ya. And up next, we have Eyes of the Creator by J.A. Nice. And Naomi, would you give that a read for us, please?
Okay, Eyes of the Creator. Pen in hand, blank page, empty mind, ink chasing, spiral into nothingness, tangled, twisted, intricate, abstract, swirls, whirling patterns, words of poetry, scribbles of art or art and poems.
Great read there, and what a wonderful write by J.A. And I just saw here in the Late Night Poets that today is Rozzy's birthday. So happy birthday, Rozzy. I hope you're having a wonderful day. Very cool.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Yes. Oh, that's awesome. And Zach, your thoughts on this poem?
I got a real sense of density throughout, and not just because the words were placed close together, but because of the density of the ink tracings spiraling downwards. I think it's a shape poem that way, descending down like a spiral. So I just like the descent. It was a good ride.
It is. It is. You know what? And I like your observations on the density of the poem and how it was created because she chose to put the words close together. Very cool. And Jody, your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought she did a wonderful job capturing the creativity process, that goes from your mind to the blank page. Very good imagery. I like the ink tracing spiraling into nothingness also. It kind of gives a mysterious and intricate nature of, the creation by the artist. The swirling patterns kind of gave a chaos and a beauty to it also. I thought she did a very good job with that. In such a small little poem.
Yeah,
too. It
is. It is, isn't it? Yeah, absolutely. Great comment. And Naomi, you did a wonderful read of that. Your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I thought right away the way that sometimes creativity just flows forth from us in a spontaneous manner. And I thought, her writing reflected that, just scribbles and spills and swirls and really quick and, flowing quickly, just a downpour of words, just simply, so yeah, it really reflected that spontaneity. Oh my gracious, I can say it. Yeah, I can say that, but not in, like in English, and I can't say that word. And it reflects that, the whole poem, I think. So very well composed and then thought-provoking, I thought. Very witty and very clever brevity.
Absolutely, absolutely. Great comment. Yes, at least once per show, Naomi and I like to play a game we call, Pam, guess what I'm trying to say? And always done is like, I don't know.
I'm with Pam and Sam. I did it. the other day, Robbie got a word on anguish. I was trying to say anguish in English, and I was saying it in French over and over again. And Robbie wrote it on the board, and I saw it like, two or three poems later, I saw the word. I said, oh, yeah.
Yeah, thank goodness for Robbie. Because I had no clue what you, because I don't speak French, so I'm like.
Obviously, I'm there like shooting these French words out, as if, they'll understand, they'll get it,
Oh, too funny,
too funny. But yeah, I really liked this brevity by J.A. Nice. I was glad to see that she was inspired. What I found really fascinating was the juxtaposition between the idea of scribbling, the picture itself, and the tightly put together form of the poem. It almost seems almost like it's a shape poem, like it could kind of be the shape of a crayon or a pencil or something like that. Like, not perfect, but I could kind of see that idea. But I also think it makes her a great representation of how, as children with scribbling, we have this freedom of thought, this freedom of expression. And then as adults, they kind of try to put us into these boxes. But yeah, this has just amazing imagery and metaphors. It was a wonderful brevity and very well done. And let's see what we have next. Up next, we have We've Forgotten by Cedar Chapman. And he was nice enough to supply us with a SoundCloud, so here we go. Oh, and hey, Naomi?
Yes?
Would you go ahead? I'll be right back. Would you leave comments for this one?
Okay, no problem.
All right.
We've Forgotten by Cedar Chapman. I don't know which is more cruel. A blank canvas left waiting to be scraped and smeared by palette knives, blending dollops of oil colors, creating the illusion of sunshine that merely bounces off our retinas. Or a sketch pad cluttered with unfinished pastel lines, crisscrossing like the pitter-patter of trousers and skirts on a crowded subway. Somewhere between nothingness and a nebulous cloud, beginning swallows the end, and we've forgotten that moments of balance require two steady hands, that a white page is only the beginning of a story, one we must keep writing. First words are always memorable, lucid like the first snowflake that melted on your tongue, or the gentle whispers carefully drawn on your bare back, using only my fingertips and the faint candlelight of the moon to guide me. Every stroke had purpose, every line was a connection, yet somehow life always gets in the way. From squeaky shopping carts to lethargic education funds and care homes for aging parents, we stopped scribbling our story. White space became warm and comfortable like freshly brewed morning coffee. But amidst the frozen tundra of words, I still see you in the tangential haze of our scribbles, your face delicately etched on my eyes before our backs became portraits of midnight silence. It calls to me each night. I hold on to it, deep in my chest, like our very first words. I found you then. I will find you again.
Oh, so sweet. And you know, that's the first time I've heard Cedar Chapman's voice. My gracious, well, he has a beautiful reading voice. Just amazing. And thank you so much, Cedar, for sending in that SoundCloud. And thank you, you know, for everybody who sends in those SoundClouds. They're so appreciated, and we get to hear your poetry and your voice. So that's just an amazing thing. And what did you think, Jody, of this, what Cedar Chapman's poem?
Yeah, I thought he did a wonderful job on the read and to write on this. Thought it beautifully explored the struggle between, you know, creation and the passage of time, which we all endure. And very vivid imagery, you know, the blank canvas and cluttered sketch pad, you know, that reflect the choices we face and shaping our stories. The impact of life's distractions and the enduring search, you know, for the connection, you know, made it a wonderful reflection on the journey of rediscovery. I really like how he put this together. I thought he did a fantastic job.
Yeah, that's a great comment there, Jody. Yeah, I really like that, you know, the way you pointed out the sketch pad and, you know, the beginning of, you know, the way it starts. It has to start someplace. You know, when he says in the poem, you know, forget the moment of balance requires, forgotten that moment of balance require two steady hands, that a white page is only the beginning of a story, one we must keep writing. And, you know, he goes from a love story to, you know, talking about more serious, like, well, love story is serious, but I mean, these everyday lifetime things, struggles, you know, like, you know, education, aging, care homes for aging parents, you know, all these problems in society today that we start working on and then, you know, I don't know, we just leave them aside, I guess, after a while, you know. It's the same thing here in Canada where I live. I don't know where Cedar Chapman is from exactly, but, you know, you start working on an issue and then, you know, it just, I don't know, it falls to the side way or, you know, the run out of funds or whatever. And, you know, the government just leaves it on the side way and you stop thinking about it after a while or, you know, till it comes into the highlight of the news again. But, you know, the what's sweet in this poem is, you know, is the love story, too, that he seems to have, you know, I found you, then I will find you again. This love story, whether it is with words or whether it is with somebody, you know, it's just wonderfully well written. What did you think, Zach? I'm babbling on here. What did you think?
No. I loved how the blank canvas seems so sad, but you don't know which is sadder, the blank canvas or the unfinished business of the creative works that you just numerously start them but don't finish them. And then the sparking process of that inspiration to create a balance. You start with that opening hook that connects the next few lines. And as these lines progress, you can get a sense of passing time within the speaker, their own life story, sort of finding lovers, finding each other, and a sense of passing away, too, a goodbye but not for long sort of feeling. It reminded me of the beginning of Disney's Up.
That's a great observation. Wonderfully said there, Zach. And Pam, are you back?
I am, yes. Thank you very much, Naomi. I really enjoy and appreciate this. You know, Cedar's writing to me, it's always powerful and emotive with wonderful use of imagery or metaphors. I really like that opening line. I don't know which is more cruel, a blank canvas left waiting to be scraped and smeared by palette knives behind dollops of oil colors. You know, or somewhere between nothingness and a nebulous cloud, beginning swallowed the end, and were you forgotten in the moments of balance require two steady hands, that a white page is only the beginning of a story, one we must keep writing. You know, I like how that speaks on the idea of going, you know, as from one generation to the next to not forgetting our history and, you know, not forgetting the importance of, you know, our relationship with people. And yeah, it definitely was a strong emotional impact and a sadness to every stroke had purpose. Every line was a connection, yet somehow life always gets in the way, from squeaky shopping carts to lethargic education funds and care homes for aging parents. You know, we forget the beauty of life. We forget the beauty of self-expression. So wonderful lines and very well done. And let's see what we have next. And up next we have Unraveling by Jacqueline H. A space unraveling, those frayed edges leak through the eyes. Who does this map of life lead to? A lonely silhouette, ghostly stares, silently pleading help. The ragged truth of life may never be revealed. End poem. And Zach, your thoughts?
It just seemed like obscure. I could see it clearly, but the face, not so much. It's just unraveling through those frayed edges. You just see like a map of lines, obscure lines, just pleading and a silent cry for help. And it may never be obscured, or I mean, it may never be revealed. And I hope that for the sake of the speaker, that the truth of life will be revealed.
Oh, absolutely. Great comment. And Jody, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it was very short, but yeah, it was very impactful. You know, get the silent plea from the lonely silhouette, you know, unraveling those frayed edges, leak through the eyes. I thought she did a wonderful job exploring all those intricate edges of space that she's writing about. Gives like a ragged truth and adds depth to the verses. It really does. Did a well job. Very well.
Absolutely. Great comment. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, very powerful brevity. You know, wow, you know, in so few words. This can't be more than what, like, might not even be 30 words. And, you know, but so powerful. And she captured that picture just amazingly. You know, space unraveled through frayed edges leaked through the eyes. Why does this map of life, who does this map of life lead to? You know, what is she? Where is she? Where is she going? I think, you know, there's a great big question mark, you know, of sadness and, you know, sitting in this right and, you know, the questions unanswered and, you know, so very well done.
Absolutely. Yeah, I have to agree. This is a wonderful brevity, a great take on the chosen prompt. And I like how it speaks on trying to find answers, especially in that line, who does this map of life lead to? You know, wonderful right and very well done. And let's see. Up next, we have Who Was This Woman by Pink Fairy 5. And Zach, would you go ahead and give that a read for us, please?
Sure. Who was this woman? She scribbled her reflection into the mirror. It was shaky, like her. She had to look away. There was something weird about seeing herself and finding nothing. She could hear her mother's voice telling her not to think she was pretty. Don't worry, Mommy, she thought. She never had her right hand reach for a water glass. There was a bug floating in it. She dumped it out and refilled it. 5-second rule, she said, taking her pill, a small pink one, she needs not to be manic. Wait a second. Manic isn't so bad, right? Her pill was long gone. She looked at her reflection in the mirror. Who was this woman? Why could she never please her? Just like she could never please her mother. End poem.
Great read, Zach. And oh my goodness, what a beautiful and powerful write by Pink Fairy 5. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Oh, absolutely. You know, this, you know, scars are that you get when you're young. They stay for a long time. And I wish people would realize that more. You know, a lot of mental health issues are born in, you know, those first 6 years of your life. And, you know, here you have a young woman who can't, her mother is never, you know, satisfied with her. And, you know, those marks, those scars have lived on. And, you know, now she doesn't find herself acceptable, you know. So she's looking in the mirror and she doesn't see, you know, a reflection of what she likes being cast back at her. And, you know, she's taking pills, of course, to try and fight it, I guess. But, you know, she ends with, why could she never please her just like she could never please her mother? So, you know, very, very profound and thought-provoking and very sad. Just sad, you know.
It is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Great observations. And Jody, your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought this was a very thought-provoking, you know, exploration of identity and validation, societal expectations and external influences that, you know, make the relationship complex. Yeah, I like the repetition of the mirror, you know. It kind of challenged the writer to, you know, face and try to understand and accept herself. It's like hints at a deeper battle with, like, mental health issues. But, yeah, it definitely captured the internal struggle that people go through in life.
Absolutely. It really did. Yeah, you could feel the internal struggle. So great comment there, Jody. And Zach, you did a wonderful read of that. Your thoughts?
Difficult. Bad self-esteem brought on by the overbearing mother, sense of being shattered and not being able to pick up the pieces. Who was this woman? I got a sense of a loss of identity. And I hope that for the sake of the speaker that they find a way to pick up the pieces again.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I know what you mean. Honestly, with poems like this, my first hope is, I hope this isn't actually true, but the sad thing is it's oftentimes more true than not, you know. But at least if nothing else, even if it's not true for the poet, it's true for somebody. And I think that's what makes this a particularly powerful piece. And that was a great comment there, Zach. But yeah, it's like Jody was saying, you know, oftentimes there are those external influences, and it tends to be people that, you know, are parent figures to us. It tends to be people whose opinions we feel like people who should love us unconditionally. And then comes the criticism and the judgment. And then it's so easy at that point to start criticizing and judging yourself. And I like how you mentioned, Zach, that the question, who was this woman, really gives food for thought on the idea of not being really aware of your self-identity. So just an amazing emotive write all the way through, and very well done. And we are now going to be having our last write for this contest. And then we'll be moving on to the next one. And that is, of course, You're Right, Naomi. So go ahead and give it a read for us, please.
Oh, my. Okay, this is worn out. My favorite sweater has started unraveling, all frazzled at the edges. I guess it might have taken a washer and dryer spin too many when I was supposed to carefully hang it to dry after softly washing it by hand. So it shrunk and its color faded, got all loose and loopy at the collar. Its wool all balled up and made it, like the straggly hair on that old stray cat that keeps wandering around here and hasn't been brushed in years. Yes, I just stopped paying attention to it after a while. After a few months, when it no longer hung in my closet, shiny and new. Or perhaps it just wore itself out. I wore it out. After all, it was my favorite to hang around in. I would wear it for days, loving its warm fuzziness, how it made me feel all cozy, comfortable, and homey, just like you. You were my favorite person to hang with, like that hot cup of licorice tea I sip and savor on chilly evenings, or my woolly checkered blanket that I wrap myself in and hug close. And I can't stop wondering if I wore us out too, flatlined us like Coca-Cola. I didn't screw the top on tight enough, letting it all fizz out. Or does time just wear everything out after a while, even friendship and love, until it starts to spill out like long strands of overcooked spaghetti, blotted and sticky and messy, just as long stretches of silence that dangle on forever, neither of us knowing what to say anymore. Perhaps our words just scribbled themselves out, and we've scraped the last bits out of the bottom of the pot into the trash and washed it clean. But I can't stop wondering how what seemed to be the beginning lines to a masterpiece could turn out to be but a few faded scribbles etched into my aching heart that keeps missing you so much still. End poem.
Wonderful read and write, Naomi. Absolutely beautiful. And Jody, your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought that was beautifully read and written, Naomi. Very good job. How you captured, you know, the unraveling of a favorite sweater for the metaphor, you know, and shows the gradual deterioration of a cherished relationship. It reminds me of a song, Undone Sweater Song by Weezer. Yeah, check it out. It's a good song. I like that one. Yeah, I thought it had vivid imagery and a bittersweet nostalgia to it. You know, speaks of the emotional complexities that come with passing of time. And between the worn-out sweater and the faded connection, I thought that was a great reflection of it. Inevitability of change and loss. So very well done.
Thank you, Jody.
Absolutely. Great comment, Jody. And Zach, your thoughts?
I was also reminded of Weezer, for sure. Starting to unravel, she walks away. Many parallels to the unraveling of the self with the unwinding of the sweater, the love being slowly saturated both in friendship and in courtship. And there's an aching regret all the way to the end, leaving nothing but the faded scribbles of the heart, worn out.
Absolutely. Great comment, Zach. And, yeah, this is absolutely beautiful. I love how you have such a consistency with the imagery and metaphors. And you take us through the various representations of the scribbles of life, you know, the unraveling sweater, you know, the spaghetti. I mean, there's so much imagery in this that can remind us of things that look like a scribble, Great opening line. My favorite sweater has started unraveling, all frazzled at the end. I guess it might have taken a washer and dryer spin too many when I was supposed to carefully hang it to dry after softly washing it by hand. And that's a wonderful representation how oftentimes we're not gentle enough on ourselves. And maybe we're not gentle enough on those that we love. Oftentimes those we care about the most are the ones that we lash out at the most. Not always, but, sometimes. I like how there is this bittersweet, nostalgic feel to this. Wonderful attention to detail. I really enjoy that you brought in your hot cup of licorice tea. Very cool there. Wondering if I wore us out too, flatlined us like Coca-Cola. I didn't screw the top on tight enough, letting it all fizz out. Really amazing lines and very well done, Naomi. I'm glad you were inspired.
Thank you, Pam.
Absolutely. And now we're going to be going to the second contest, which was for the prompt, live for the moments you can't put into words. And so, Jody, I've gone ahead and put your poem up. So go ahead and give that a read for us.
Sure. Sounds good. It's called Unscripted. In the morning hush we gather, the calming of the mind, where morning dew shares our coffee with the panoramic view outside. We find the sacred space between words and the whispering of the mind, a realm untethered by languages, ties that bind. Live not for the prose that neatly fits, nor the stanzas that neatly align, but for the moment elusive where the heart's cadence defies design. Let your essence meld with twilight's hues, an ethereal symphony of time and grace, for the poetry of living lies in the silent spaces words can't be traced. Hold close the laughter that needs no script, the tears that paint a tale of silence, in the rhythm of unscripted love, find the verses that need not pay a pence. Each heartbeat and untold poem echoes in the chambers of our being. Live for the whispers of existence and the quietude, find life's reprieve. For when the sun dips beneath the horizon and stars illuminate the unwritten, we breathe in the poetry of the moment where life's untamed verses are smitten. So let us dwell in the silence where words fall short and meaning concealed, in the canvas of moments unspoken, live the poetry only our hearts can reveal. End poem.
Wonderful reading right there, Jody. I'm very glad you were inspired by that quote. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Can you come right back to me, Pam?
Oh, sure, no problem. Zach, your thoughts.
Jody, that was very well done. The theme of silence permeating throughout spoke to the companionship and the quiet respect taken to get to know one another and to the spaces where words can't be traced, very resonant with the heartbeats kind of echoing each one of them a poem in itself because it's so silent. Both of them, you could surely hear it. It's very lovely.
Well, thank you.
It really is. And you're right. All the stanzas work together, and yet they stand on their own as a poem within themselves. This is just a beautiful flow of language and imagery throughout. I like how your one-word title was just a perfect choice, unscripted, because it really is those unscripted moments that we need to learn to live for. I get being a planner, it's important. My life would be total chaos if I wasn't a planner, but at the same time, You have to have appreciation for those unscripted moments, and also for those moments where you really just connect with nature, connect with other people, and connect with silence. You know, not everything has to be about, you know, constantly talking. And, you know, I thought there were wonderful lines throughout, but I especially like, let your essence meld with twilight's hues, an ethereal symphony of time and grace, for the poetry of living lives in the silent spaces words can't be traced. And also where it says, each heartbeat an untold poem echoes in the chambers of our being. Live for the whispers of existence, in the quietude find life's reprieve. Wonderful lines, Jody, and very well done. And Naomi, are you ready to make a comment?
Yeah. Yeah, this was really beautiful, Jody. My gracious, you know, just right from that first stanza, in the morning hush we gather, the calming of the mind, where morning dew shares our coffee with the panoramic view outside. You know, when I just feel myself there, you know, staring outside, sipping the morning coffee, that those in between. Those in-between silences, those in-between moments, those in-between pauses that we have when we're just with ourselves, reflecting and thinking, and, you know, and the spontaneous, that's word again. That is spontaneous. Spontaneous laughter or whatever, you know, that just bubbles up. And, you know, when you have people over and you didn't plan a party, I don't know if that ever happened to you, but you have the best time ever, you know, you just have the best time, as if you had planned this great big party and it couldn't be better, but it wasn't, nothing was planned. You know, just all these unexpected moments that happened to us. But I get here that you're talking more about moments, you know, that are more quiet and untamed, and you know, moments of your heart. And, you know, those quiet moments, but, you know, I get the spontaneity. And, you know, this made me reflect a lot and made me really happy in a way, because, you know, I'm a perfectionist, of course. And, you know, yeah, I get pleasure of in those little moments that you talk about here. So thank you so much for that, Jody. Very well written poem. Beautiful.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Naomi. I also appreciate you too, Pam. I was on mute when I was telling you thank you.
Oh, well, you know, I figured you were there on mute in silent reverence, you know, saying, I appreciate you, Pam. I wasn't too worried. Great writing. And up next we have Splinter Cafe by Deer Catcher. And he was nice enough to supply us with a recording. So here we go.
Splinter Cafe. When I stroll, axe in hand, to my woodpile, rural land, attack the wood to feed the flames. Little friends call out names. The nuthatches and chickadee call about, come and see. They come quite close before my eyes. I sit and rest, and they scrutinize the bark and splinters of my mess. For grubs and worms, the beetle nest, I'm impressed by what they see, and carry a choice one into the trees. Feed one too timid to come see, intimidated by my wheeze, not yet learning how to trust the brood of man in wood dust. Benjamin Moon.
Wonderful, wonderful read and write there, dear catcher. I tell you, Heath has one of those voices that I would sit around a campfire listening to him tell stories. It is just a wonderful storytelling voice. And Jody, your thoughts?
Yeah, I like his voice on that too. I thought he did a good job on the read and write. Painted a rustic scene of wood chopping, nature between man and the delicate dance with the feathered visitors. Thought he captured the essence of the woodsy encounter, the whole trust and timidity of within the delicate ecosystem that they had out there. Yeah, I thought it was impressive. I love how he ended it, not yet learning how to trust the brood of man in wood dust. And that was a great way to end that one. With all the
it is, absolutely.
Woodiness he had to that. Very well done.
Absolutely. Great comment. And Zach, your thoughts?
Didn't know where it was going to go with that opening line, but I was glad that there was no need to be surprised because of the peaceful floral and fauna sort of being observing the nature being kind of like exfoliated by the opening of the tree trunk and seeing like the insides of it and nature reacting to him and untrusting because he's this kind of lumbering human wandering into their midst. I loved it.
Yeah, absolutely. Great comment. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Oh, I thought this was just beautiful. And, you know, I have to give him credit for that title, Splinter Cafe. You know, he's in a way, he's providing this cafe for all these animals to come and, you know, dig in between these splinters of wood, these leftover pieces of wood and that bark and everything, and then, you know, there's the bugs and the, yeah, probably, you know, the squirrels and the birds that come there to get the bugs and everything that are there. And so in a way, he's providing this cafe for the nature for all these animals. So what a brilliant, brilliant title for this piece. But, you know, I just love the whole piece and the way he read it, of course. Like you said, Pam, such a beautiful reading voice. And, you know, I just love his harmony that he finds with nature and just the peacefulness of the whole right, just beautiful poem. So very well done.
Yes, for sure. Wonderful comment. Yeah, this is a great brevity, and I really enjoy the picture that he paints with his words. Wonderful rhyme and flow, great imagery. And I like how he starts out with, when I stroll axe in hand to my wood pile, rural land. So he's going to, you know, help himself, help his family, grab some wood to warm up his house. And, you know, in the process of that, he ends up helping out nature. And I like how he specifically names certain birds like the nuthatches and chickadee. And I did like the humor in, intimidate, feed one too timid to come see, intimidated by my weeds. I get that. Man, allergies are just horrible when being around that sawdust. Not yet learning how to trust the brood of man in wood dust. Yeah, I could definitely see that. It takes time, you know, and, you know, a lot of animals, because it is part of their nature, will always be skittish around humanity. So excellent write and very well done. And let's see what we have next. Up next, we have Wig the Wham by Eric Svensson, who supplied us with a SoundCloud. So here we go.
Wig the Wham.
cradle, ladle, dollops of wonderment. Best baby can do is gurgle gleefully, still surrounded by ineffable color penumbras. Soft spots on top of the skull is still open, more than token. Real interaction with spirit guides takes place. Joyous gurgles over time curdles, happenstance hurdles in life's steeplechase. Must have been 4 years old when I last saw those ineffable color penumbras. Seventh youngest sibling regarded as otherworldly then, always smiling at unseen things. Wick the wham, bam, slam, mam, also won't do, cause they're still there. Tessellated staircase, heaven's way, still invites tap dancing. Oh, but how we learned adults atlas carry the old world upon our square shoulders. Sisyphean determined to roll cannonballs uphill all the time. Wick the wham hollers my inner cherub child. Tony Childs pitches in with, stop your fussing, your time has come. Swap your morose earthbound albatross for Jonathan Livingston seagull. Adult ladle drops of evergreen wonderment all around us. Finders keepers, darling poets. Now the quirky perky old book sums it all up. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. Now why do I sense youth happy-chappy, gargoyle gurgling return on reading this? On course, of course, we all do our best. Ladle authentic smiles, while all this happeneth to us, does add quality as we licorice all sorts, doesn't it? Touché, I touch my toupee, while cranky, craggy auntie AI rates this splendiferous offering a mere 3.2. End delightful poem.
Wonderful read and write there, Eric. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Off mute, Naomi. Okay. I'm talking to the button. It wouldn't obey me. And I lost the poem. Okay, where is it? Okay, I just love, you know, Eric, you know, and this one actually, you know, I followed all the way through. Sometimes, you know, I get amused by his wordplay, but I don't really, you know, understand all the level of the, you know, because some of his poems are so layered that, you know, I get lost in them a little bit. I still enjoy them, but I get lost. But this one, oh my gracious, you know, I followed through, yay! And, you know, of course, Jonathan Livingston Seagull, which is one of the favorite books that I read when I was a teenager, you know, about following your dreams and going farther. And, you know, so I understood that, you know, that adult
yeah, that, you know, that adult thing of just go flying off on your own and then trying to discover who you are, trying to do. But I also got that, you know, you lose your childhood innocence at some place, you know, and, you know, you lose that ability to see like through a child's eyes. Innocently and amusingly and whimsically as you grow older. And yeah, and so great right. And you know, as you gain responsibility, I guess you lose some of that innocence. And I think this was what the poem is mostly about. But beautifully, beautiful right here by Eric. Really enjoyed this one.
Absolutely, absolutely. Me too. Wonderful comment. And Zach, your thoughts?
Oh, nicely done. I didn't quite know how to decipher the first stanza. I thought a baby, of course, but because of the opening of the skull, I didn't know if that was a lobotomy or the opening of the third eye. And then, like, the progression kind of leads us to Atlas and Sisyphus. A real heaviness there with the Greeks. And then from there, it's a childlike offering of moral acceptance to others. And I thought that those were words to live by, to live with the wide-eyed and open mind of a child. And I love the gargoyle nostalgia with this one. Really well done.
Absolutely. Yeah, I did like the message within this one. Great comment. And Jody, your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought he left me with a sense of nostalgia and contemplation, as he always does. I really enjoyed when he was speaking of the drops of evergreen wonderment all around us, finders, keepers, darling poets. I thought that was clever. You almost need an atlas when you're in a encyclopedia to read his poetry. But
right?
Yeah, I thought the same at the beginning. I thought he maybe referring to like a pineal gland in your head. And this is just incredible work. He does such phenomenal work. It's hard to even dissect it. It really is. Just great imagery and plethora of emotions.
Yeah,
I love it.
Yeah,
splendiferous offering indeed. Oh, that was pretty clever too.
Yeah.
It always leaves me wow. Well done.
He really does. He does. Yeah, I have to agree. He leaves us with a sense of wonderment. So great comment there. Yeah, the soft spot on top of the skull still open. You know, well, that's actually a physical truth because, you know, it's not until like they're about a year old or so that infant skulls actually go together. You know, but it also makes her a great metaphor for the idea that children's minds are more open to things that adults are not used to. And this also speaks to me on how as adults we carry burdens that begin to blind us to the simple pleasures of life. So amazing write and very well done. And see what we have next. All right. Up next, we have All the Kids Wore Snow Pants by Ken Smith. All the kids wore snow pants in the school playground. They had passed my train window. One had mittens dangling from her jacket sleeves. On strings, a second little pair of hands she will grow to as her life extends. As I entered Montreal, the Farine Five Roses neon sign high up on a tall building, Farine meaning flower. So much food for thought in this French culture, a second language I'd like to master, maybe a second home. End poem. And Naomi, I imagine that you can relate to this right a little bit.
Yeah.
I agree. Yes. Yeah, you know, a second language is I'd like to master, maybe a second home. Because, you know, when you a language is like a home. It has its proper culture. It has its proper sayings. It has its proper, it has its meaning, its ways of thinking. If I think of English, there's a difference between English and there's a big difference between English and French and the way that they see things, they see the world, they see, they interpret different things. It's like living in two different homes at once, like knowing another language. It's not just knowing the language. It's like living in another home. It's hard to explain it, but I think he does it in this poem. It's like, those extended mittens, mittens hanging. It's like, they're an extra pair of hands. Like a language gives you that extra pair of hands, I think, to be able to navigate in the world. That gives you, more opportunities. And I know exactly where that is, that huge building with the Sahin Five Roses sign on the tall building, the flower shop there. And we're very well done, and it brought a lot of memories back, Montreal and everything. And we're very well done, Ken Smith.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment. And Jody, your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought it captured, fleeting moments with the mittens dangling on the child's jacket, like a passage of time. It's definitely inviting contemplation on language and the possibility of a second home. I can imagine that would like be living in another world, knowing two different languages. I was never good at trying to learn other languages. I took Spanish and I can count to 10. That's about it.
Oh, that's pretty good. It's a start anyway.
Well, it was the first class of my high school. It should have been like in the middle of the day or something. 7 o'clock in the morning. About to learn Spanish. I enjoyed that. He did a very good job with pulling all that together.
He really did. He really did. Wonderful comment. And Zach, your thoughts?
Fantastic. Charles at the playground, giving a sense of growth initially, and then falling in love with another culture, another language. The childlike wonder permeating throughout, and the second home is a very protective thought and a bit of a hideaway. Very enjoyable.
Absolutely, absolutely. I have to agree. Yeah, this just has such amazing imagery and metaphors. I love the sense of longing at the end, and there's really an appreciation for the simple pleasures of life. All the way through, it's wonderful, but I did especially like that end stanza. So excellent write and very well done. And let's see what we have next. We are definitely going to have a few carryovers, and I will let people know what show they will be on. And up next we have Poetry and Jazz by Guilty. And Zach, would you give that a read for us, please?
Sure. Poetry and Jazz by Guilty. Finding notes for feelings, expressions in song, flowing rivers. After the winter has thawed, sunshine streaming, when it has just been too long without warmth. Budding leaves, arms outstretched, without bundled sleeves, an easy smile after the cancer is gone. Walking hand in hand and wanting nothing more. End poem.
Great read there, Zach. And what a powerful and emotive write.
of understanding that that life comes with these enormous blessings that you appreciate even more when you go through these scares together, these challenges in life, such as, the cancer. And that was a particularly powerful line. You know, without arms outstretched, without bundled sleeves, an easy smile after the cancer is gone, walking hand in hand and wanting nothing more. Beautifully written. And Jody, your thoughts?
Captured, the journey of emotions that one would go through, from the winter's chill to the warmth of newfound joy. I did that wonderfully. Added a powerful layer of resilience and hope, when he mentioned overcoming cancer. I'd say at that point, the way it ended, just wanting nothing more than walk hand in hand, definitely let you feel like he found contentment in his life. That's something to be proud of, for sure. Very well done.
Absolutely. Yeah, that is for sure. Wonderful comment. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think this is just wonderful, this brevity. Oh, my gracious, so powerful and so emotive, so beautifully written. I think you both said a lot, but just just getting over cancer, my gracious, wouldn't you appreciate everything more? Like finding notes for feelings and the expressions in a song. Notice the rivers flowing after winter. You'd notice all these things, wouldn't you? You'd be so appreciative of life. You could only have that chance of vanquishing that cancer and having it go away and being able to live more, for a longer time. And very well done poem indeed.
It truly was. I have to agree. Wonderful comments, everybody, and a beautiful write by Guilty. Really pulls at the heartstrings. All right. And I believe this will be our last poem for the night. It is Trauma by Stephen T. Wellman. And go ahead, please, Jody, and give that a read for us.
Okay. All right, we got trauma. A teacher, unwanted things, pain stings. You mind not that it hurts. You'll find the mind stronger than you think. Perhaps better healed than unbroken. Nothing erases it. Nothing replaces it. It has become a part of me. I touch to love rather than touch to fear. And I live again. I love again. And I love to live. End poem.
Great read there, Jody. And what an amazing write by Stephen. It really has these powerful, impactful, short lines that are really heartfelt. He writes on the trauma lived through and how, because with that trauma, and of course I wish we lived in a world where people didn't go through abuse, where they didn't go through trauma. It unfortunately does happen. And with that can come personal growth in becoming a person who deeply understands the need for love in other people. So amazing brevity and very well done. And Zach, your thoughts?
It's another one that tugs at the heartstrings. Pain stings. Pain stings the mind and the body, no matter what. But the mind is stronger than the body. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger, truly. Nothing really can replace it. You can surely appraise the parts of yourself, but the mind, you can't. I loved it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Great comment. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Absolutely wonderful, you know, very emotive. And again, another right, you know, it has the end of it, eh? It has become a part of me. I touch to love rather than touch to fear, and I live again. I love again, and I love, and I love to live. You know, just beautifully written all the way through, and so true all that you said, Pam, about, you know, trauma. And this captures it so well. Wonderful, wonderful, right?
It really is. It really is. I have to agree. You know, and just amazing writing. And I think we're actually going to go ahead and fit in, because I think I can find another brevity. Yes, I have found another brevity. And that is When by Albin Burrell. Naomi, would you go ahead and give that a read for us, please?
Okay. When young, so young was I, world checking its unforgiving face in innocence of mine. Sprites so alive, animals came to disappear within my horizon. Chickens took the dogs, sparrows married cows, crows, all not here anymore, sitting final, air chest knitting, desperately avoiding final meeting. Why do I cry thinking I still never see other life? End poem.
Great read, Naomi. And this poem made me think of the idea of hope lost. Really intriguing imagery and metaphors, and very well done. And Jody, what did it bring to your mind?
Yeah, and, definitely. And like the fleeting nature of innocence, you know, and the inevitability of passing time. Added a depth of, you know, to the journey expressed emotionally. Yeah, I thought it was very well done with the reader's reflection on the transience of youth and the mysteries of life. I love these brevities. I think they're awesome.
They are. I have to agree. Absolutely. Great comment. And Zach, your thoughts?
That was another devastating one. The death of innocence in a very naturalistic kind of violence, from the chickens taking the dogs and this just in the sparrows married crows. That doesn't exactly sound peaceful. It sounds like a cacophony. But yet it's not here anymore. And all that's left is just the knitting chest knitting, desperately avoiding the final meeting. Just a devastating notion that perhaps there won't be another life after this one. And I hope that's not the case, just personally saying. I love it.
Really? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Wonderful comment. And your thoughts, Naomi?
Yeah, Pam, I'll leave my comments in writing, because my cat is driving me crazy here.
Sure. No problem. Well, like I said, we will have like 3 or 4 carryovers, and I'll let people know when they'll be on when I know. You know, this has been a really great show. I've enjoyed all of your company. Thank you, Naomi, as always, for being my wonderful co-host, my twisted sister. Thank you, Zach and Randy and Jody, for calling in. Thank you, Ed, for calling in to read your poem. Thank you, Rosie, Puddles, and Robbie, for hanging on the board. Thank you to
fill my eyes for everything she does in the background. Thank you to everyone who wrote for the show, was listening while we were on live, or will be listening later. We truly appreciate you all, and have a wonderful night, everyone.